Amen. Amen. Making a difference in our worship. This is our Christmas series this year. And last week, we looked at the Magi and we looked at just multiple points where their attitude and actions should inspire us to deepen the meaning of our worship. To look at that and just really evaluate it at this time of this year as we're looking at these different stories. Stories that we've probably heard as many times as we've been in church. We've probably heard these stories, especially out of Luke chapter 2, what we're going to be talking about today. And so hopefully from last week, some of that inspiration, you came in here this morning into worship, storing up things inside the treasure box of your hearts and brought them in here to offer as worship. And so this week we're looking at the shepherds. And so we go to Luke chapter 2. I said, a very famous passage, one that you guys have probably heard as many times as you've been in church every year. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius, the governor, was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David. Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. And that was tough to sing angel. Everyone wants to sing angels in the first Noel. So an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were what? They were terrified. When was the last time the glory of the Lord had this effect on you? Yeah, we're just jumping right in. We're just diving right in. When was the last time just the presence of the Lord, the glory of the Lord had that effect on you? Let's start off to take some notes. We're just jumping right in this morning. We're going to be looking at the attitude and attitudes in worship, and we're looking at actions in worship, being inspired by these shepherds in this story here in Luke chapter 2. So right off the bat, the glory of the Lord should cause us to stand in awe. This is a feeling of fear and amazement combined. To just take a moment and just realize that we are in God's presence. We're in God's presence when we come together, where two or more gathered in my name. There I am also. We're in God's presence when we come here to gather and worship corporately. And we're in God's presence really all the time as a Christian, because Jesus said, I'll never leave you, correct? And he fulfilled that promise by sending the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. So we're never separated from God, and that's an awesome feeling as Christians, but we need to remember what that means when it comes to that God's living inside of me. His holy presence, his Holy Spirit never leaves us. It's always there. It's always with us. And on one side, that's a very comforting thought. But then on the other side, that is a terrifying thought. Because we're talking about God here. When was the last time we were aware that we were in his glory? Surrounded by his glory. And we trembled in fear. We should be in a constant state of awe. Because the Holy Spirit's always in us. Jesus will never leave us. And it shouldn't be something that comes and goes. It should be a constant state of awe. But I don't think that's the case. For most of us, I can confess myself. I know for myself, I've gotten used to the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And that just sounds weird coming out of my mouth. But that's truth. I've gotten used to him living inside of me. And he's like Santa Claus. He knows when I've been naughty and nice. But Santa has to investigate. The scary part is the Holy Spirit does not, because he witnessed my naughty and my nice firsthand. The Holy Spirit lived those moments with me. The times when I was just the best of the best and no one else will ever know, he knew. And the times when I was the worst of the worst and no one else will ever know. But he knows. He knows. I don't think I'm alone in this feeling of getting used to that. I think all of us are there. We've grown accustomed to God's Holy Spirit living in us. And if we would just take a moment to think about what that means, God's Holy Spirit, it would have been enough for God to say his Spirit was living inside of us. But God chose to give that Spirit a name, and that Spirit was the Holy Spirit. He is a presence. He is God that lives inside of me, and he is specifically holy. And as we think about that, that's a crazy thought, that God's Holy Spirit lives inside of me. These shepherds, they trembled with fear. I think our attitude in worship would be quite different if the reality of God's glory living inside of us was rediscovered today, and we were just like, wow. Wow. I mean, I knew it. I knew it when I was baptized. I've had moments where I've been reminded of it, but sometimes we just get used to it because he's always there. But I want the shepherds and their reaction to the angels and the glory of the Lord to cause us to revisit that in our worship and in our lives and be reminded that that is just wow. And it is wow in so many different ways. It's wow in the amazing and powerful way. That there's a powerful Holy Spirit living inside of me. The Spirit of God, the power of God inside me. And that's wow. And it's wow that it's the Holy Spirit who lives with me through my good decisions and my bad decisions. And when we sing songs and we come in here and we sing of his power, that he's mighty to save, that if this is an attitude where we're constantly in awe of him because of this awareness of him in our lives, that we would say, when we come and we sing a song like that, it's not a reminder of how powerful he is, but it is our heart voicing what we have been reminded of every day, every week, every moment, every second, because we've stayed in that constant state of awe, realizing the Holy Spirit lives inside of me and he is powerful. And when we come here to sing it, it is just a vocalization of what we have realized through the week and not a realization where we come and sing a song and go, oh yeah, he is pretty powerful. It's the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And that's wow. That's wow because we're in a state of awe because we think of his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. And those thoughts should not stick in our head just because there was a catchy tune on Sunday that you go into the week kind of humming or whistling and singing in your head. Those thoughts, those thoughts involved with worship, grace and mercy and forgiveness, when we come and sing a song about those things, that should be a reflection of our heart, because all week long I have been bathing in his grace. Thank God. His mercy has been reigning over me all week long. And I'm not coming in on a Sunday morning and just realizing it then. I've been realizing it all week because I've been in a constant state of awe because he's never left me, because he's always inside of me. And so we see these shepherds, and they are trembling in fear. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." And this has happened a few times in the birth story, stories that we haven't touched on and won't actually get to in this series. But the angels have visited various people in the birth story, the birth narratives in the Gospels. And the next thing they say typically is they're scared and they say, "Don't be afraid." And the same thing here happens here. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for," say those next three words with me, "all the people." Let's go back. All the people. Let's say that and let's emphasize the first word. So all the people. Emphasize the last word. All the people. All the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. We should remember that our God brings good news of great joy for all people. Let's write that down. We should remember that our God brings good news of great joy for all people. God is to be feared. He is to be feared. But let me remind you, he always has the best in mind for us. He always has the best in mind for us. As the shepherds are trembling and the angels say, do not fear. We've got good news. I've got good news of great joy for all people. God's always got our best in mind. He's always got the best in mind. I mean, just look at who he invited to Jesus' birthday party first. I think this is pretty amazing. Who did God invite first? We just read about it. Shepherds. Shepherds. Lowly shepherds. The first outsiders, Mary and Joseph and whatever animals were gathered around them, looking in their food dish, wondering, I don't think we're into this. Not live babies. That's what a manger. That's what a manger is. They laid him in an animal's food dish, a food trough. The first outsiders that were invited to Jesus' birthday party were lowly shepherds. Not royalty, not influential politicians, not the religious zealots, not the educated scholars. The Magi we talked about last week, they came along when Jesus was a toddler. Not when he was an infant. No, the first ones that were invited were shepherds. Shepherds. And we get a warm fuzzy when we hear the word shepherd because of all the biblical references to how Jesus is the good shepherd and how shepherds care for the sheep and how we have, you know, and we get this image, this mental image, and we've got pictures painted of it and little nice little cards we see and little calendars we've got and of this shepherd with a crook and a sheep, you know, a little lamb around his shoulders. This wasn't always the view of shepherds in the first century. In some historical writings, the shepherds were looked at in the same light as sailors. They were included in that same group of people, sailors and shepherds. And greedy marketplace salesmen. That's who shepherds were compared to in some of the historic writings. So this is a big deal that shepherds were the first to receive an invite from God. Now, some commentators don't believe that the historians that have recorded that recorded all of, they were just recording the bad ones. But whichever way you look at it, if you go over here and you say, okay, well, it was just the plain average Joe shepherds, or you look at it this way and you're saying, okay, well, it was the dregs of society, sons of anarchy shepherds, you know, that were invited. Either way you look at it, they were shepherds. Shepherds. The proclamation of the angel that Jesus has come for all people, I love this, was immediately displayed through inviting shepherds to be the first to be drawn to Jesus by God. Isn't that neat? The angels say, he's for all people. And then we reading, looking at it, oh, well, he's inviting shepherds. I guess it really is for all people. It's a great, great thought. Such a great introduction to the ministry of Jesus. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, whatever situation you're currently in, whatever past you come with, whatever past you have with you that you bring with you, God has good news of great joy. First and foremost, in the gift of his son to you. And that's more than enough. I mean, that if that were it, that would be more than enough for our gratitude. That would be more than enough for our worship. That would be more than enough for us to be thankful. But you and I both know that that's not the only thing. Jesus coming, the gift of Jesus, good news of great joy for all people, that wasn't just Jesus. That represents God's pattern throughout. James captures it, every good and perfect gift comes from above. Jesus says that if we who are evil know how to give good gifts to our children, How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So God brings good news of great joy through the manger, the cross, the empty grave. First and foremost, absolutely. But we all know, and we're all witnesses of the blessings that God brings in that same pattern. He also brings good news of great joy in those little personalized gifts and blessings that he brings to our life. Sometimes it's something as big as your first grandchild. Sometimes it's something just as simple of a blessing as the person in front of you in the drive-thru paying for your lunch and just making your day. God comes to earth in the form of a baby, Jesus. And the first to receive an invitation to that birthday party were shepherds. None of us should feel outside of God's invitation to come and worship his son. Good news of great joy for all the people. All were invited. Come and see what God has done for you. Come and worship him. And this should shape our attitude when we come together and worship. That we should just be grateful for all that God does for us. Share a quick video here I saw this week. I want to share about gratitude. That video just captured the attitude of gratitude on all the little gifts that God, all the little blessings that God has given to us. That was put together by a church down in South Carolina. And so I appreciate them sharing with that on Facebook. And so lots of cool stuff there. So then we return to verse 12 in Luke chapter 2. It says, this will be, this angel sharing with the shepherds, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Jesus in a manger reminds us that good news of great joy can come from unexpected sources when God is involved. The shepherds were unexpected guests, but a baby in a manger is an unexpected source. And this is also a pattern of God's. That expected Messiah was so much more than just the Messiah. He was Savior and Lord. And he came in a very unexpected way. A virgin birth of an unwed mother, born and placed in an animal's feeding trough, a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. How many other times have we seen the blessings of God come from unexpected sources? Let's just think about that. And then through the week, let that just kind of echo through your week and let you think about that. And maybe that can bring some things to put in the store or the treasure house of your heart, or treasure box of your heart, to bring into worship next week. As you remember some of these times, wow, yeah, that was an unexpected place where God blessed me. Or that was an unexpected place where an unexpected situation, an unexpected person, an unexpected this or that. And just remember those things of how God has blessed you, reached out to you, loved you, showed his the way he views that you have value through those different blessings from unexpected sources. I mean, I wonder how many of those blessings we miss out on because we look at the source and say, no. I mean, I wonder, the shepherds very well could have done that. Given an angel was speaking to them, but after the angel disappeared, they could have said, really? The Messiah? Savior? Don't even quite know what that fully means, but it sounds big. Lord? And he's in an animal's food dish? Nah, I think I'm going to go back to maybe getting a little more sleep. Maybe, laying off this kind of food and maybe eat a little more of this over here. You know, how many times have we done the same thing? What they could have done, but they didn't do that, did they? How many times do we do that, though? How many times do we look at something and say, no, that doesn't make sense. That's no. There's not through that person, not through that situation, not through that place, not through that thing. No. And we never check it out. When the angels had left them, there's angels, so it was plural there. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing. Oh, because they all gathered to worship. I'm skipping what we're talking about next week. So there was one angel shared with them the message. Then angels gathered to worship. So when the angels had left them, gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing. I like that. Everyone say, see this thing. See this thing. I love that. Almost want to throw an A in there. You know, see this thing. Let's go see this thing. Let's go to Bethlehem. I love that statement. It's so simple. Let's go see this thing. Let's just go see it. Sometimes it's not only, sometimes you don't need faith. Sometimes you just need curiosity to check something out. Let's go see this thing. Let's go see what's going on. Let's go see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Worship involves an attitude, but it involves our attitude, but worship also involves our action. So they heard, but then they acted on that. Worship, action. I think sometimes we may miss the good news of great joy. I mean, definitely, if we didn't seek out Jesus, we would miss the good news of great joy. But I think some of the other good newses of great joys in our life, I think we miss some of those because we don't simply move towards it. We don't act. We don't have the faith enough to step forward, or even the curiosity. Let's write this down. We need faith, or at least the curiosity to look for, let's go see that thing, to look for God's good news of great joy. Worship involves action. It involves personally engaging in the moment God has provided. We have to invest action to see the blessing. The shepherds were visited by angels, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. We may not get that form of communication. We may not get an actual angel speaking to us. But when we feel God's leading, when we hear his whisper, sometimes which is very subtle, how many times do we think, no, that was probably just my imagination? And then we do nothing about it. Worshiping means acting on the times when we feel God's Holy Spirit moving us in a direction. It means becoming tuned in to his voice. The sheep will recognize the shepherd's voice. Not lowercase shepherd, capital shepherd. And we need to tune into that and listen so that we do know when it's him leading. We do know that it's him speaking. And then we move. And sometimes that's great faith. Sometimes all it takes is some curiosity that then leads to faith. I think if any one of us would chase our steps to when we came to Christ, it started with some curiosity. Let's go see that thing. Let's go see what this is about. Let's go. I'm a little curious about Jesus or about church or about what this whole God thing's about. Whatever it was that brought some curiosity in there as God was calling you to Jesus. And then it moves into faith. And then it moves into great, great blessings. It moves into good news of great joy to go and see that thing. Whatever that thing is for you this week, whatever that thing is for you today, whatever God is leading you to, don't write it off as an unexpected source. God tends to use those. Don't write it off as just your imagination. Why don't you just go on and test it and walk that way and see where it leads you? See what happens. We're told here that when they had seen him, when the shepherds saw Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. I think we know this next note, but we need to be reminded of it sometimes. And that is, let's go on to the next one. Did I skip? Shouldn't have. We bring glory. There we go. Yeah, that's what I just read. Okay, so now we're caught up. Okay. We bring glory to God by sharing our God experiences with others. I think we know that, but we need to be reminded of it. We bring glory to God by sharing our God experiences with others. And those that heard the story from the shepherds, they were amazed. Why don't we share our God experiences with others more often? What's the hindrance there? What's the obstacle? What do we need to get over? I think a lot of times it's ourself. I think a lot of times we don't share God experiences because maybe we're embarrassed and we don't want to admit that. But if we were being honest with ourselves, that's where it would go to. We're worried about what others will think about us. We're worried that they think maybe we're a little off our rocker. Maybe we're a little cuckoo. Those of us who already have that, you know, reputation, then there's nothing to lose. So maybe that's why I'm a little more open with my faith. But do we not share because we're worried about what people will think about us? And if so, then have we forgotten that bringing glory to God is worship? And sharing our God experiences with other people, that brings glory to God, and that is worship. And shame on us if we've let our own, you know, embarrassment stand in the way of giving glory to God and worshiping Him by sharing our God experiences with others. It brings glory to God. Isn't that a worshipful action? To bring glory to God. And how do you know that the person you're going to share with is not going to be amazed? So I think that's another thought, you know, that goes through our mind is, oh, they're not going to care. Or it's not going to be a special to them. Or they're not going to be excited about it. They're not going to be amazed by this. How arrogant is that of us to think that we know how they're going to respond? That we know, that we're so pompous to say, I know how they're going to respond. And maybe you've known this person your whole life, but you don't know what God's doing on the inside. Maybe a week ago, they would have responded the way you think they would respond, but maybe this week, it's different because God's been moving in their life. And you wouldn't know that. But God does. And if God's leading you to share a God experience with them, then why not? Why not? It could turn out that your willingness to share could result in someone else being amazed by God's actions in your life. The shepherds shared and others were amazed. I think we would do well this week to be inspired by the shepherds and share our God experiences with others. And then we see that their worship continued into their daily lives. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Worship continues as we return to our daily routine. Worship continues as we return to our daily routine. Making a difference in our worship, it involves an attitude of worship. This realization that the Holy Spirit is living inside of me. Jesus will never leave me. We are constantly in His presence, so we should constantly be in a state of awe and amazement at His power, at His grace, at His forgiveness, at His love, of His support, His encouragement. That we should just stand in awe all the time. That we should remember that our God brings good news of great joy, and that started with Jesus, but it didn't stop there. And He brings all sorts of blessings into our life, and it's not just for me, it's not just for you, it's for all people, it's for everyone. And God's good news can come from unexpected sources. We need to remember that. And I want to challenge you, I want to encourage you this week. Seek out some of those unexpected sources. When you feel a leading, when you feel God moving, say, you know what? Why not? What's it going to hurt? Have a little curiosity, or even better, have a little faith. And make an action, because worship involves action. It involves moving towards that. It involves being involved, actively engaging in the moment that God has given to you. And use that curiosity or use that faith to look into that thing. Whatever that thing is that God is leading you to. And discover God's good news of great joy. And that might be you discovering a place where you can bring good news of great joy to someone. Or that road might end in a place where you are the blessed. Where you receive good news of great joy. And you receive a blessing that you never would have expected to get. Definitely would not have expected to get it from that particular situation or person or place. We bring glory to God by sharing our God experiences with others. Let's remember that this week. We bring glory to God. That is a form of worship, to share our God experiences with other people. And that our worship continues as we return to our daily routine. Whatever you're doing on a daily basis, worship continues. You think about the things God's done for you, and you just praise him, and you thank him, and you pray to him, and you're thankful, and it just cycles through. And you take those things and you store it up in the treasure box of your heart, and you bring it back to corporate worship together, and we all just bring all these great thoughts of gratitude and thankfulness and love and appreciation, and we bring them in worship, making a difference in our worship this Christmas. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much.